Let's turn in our Bibles to page 1. Genesis 1:1. Genesis chapter 1, if you want to stand for the reading of God's Word. Praise the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved or was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Verse 26, same chapter. Page 2. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the midst birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 7 of chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Father, bless your word today, we pray. Encourage us, grant us understanding in the scriptures, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at what God's purpose for humanity is, or for God's purpose for mankind. And so, male and female, don't not leave anybody out. But we look at creation itself. God made it in the beginning. God, we could stop right there and say that just God, you could go forever on who God is. Matter of fact, it will take us an eternity to learn of God, because he never began and will never end. That's hard for us to imagine in humanity, but God didn't have a beginning, will not have an end. The only beginning God ever had, he had a beginning in humanity when he was made flesh and dwelt among us, but eternally he was always God, Son of God. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 90, verse 2 says that from eternity to eternity thou art God. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. And God created earth for you and me. He created it to support humanity. God created the universe, the atmosphere, sun, moon, stars, seasons, years, months, weeks, days. Time was created by God. But God is never limited by times, years, and months, or anything. God is eternal. He can do anything, everything. And so God made this for us. And so God made us to be people that would depend upon his creation in order to sustain our life, amen, spiritually, but also physically. Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." You think maybe God looked ahead and said, you know, nobody's satisfied with the cold very long, or for too hot for too long. No, God made all of these things. He made seasons. He made all the time, everything. And if we look for an example of things here, we find that in the book of Job had the most suffering life that we can imagine. Scholars believe it lasted about a year. He lost everything that he had as far as materially. And he also lost his health. The only thing that Job did not lose was his life. And that was restricted by God from Satan being able to take his life. And Job reasons it out. His three friends weren't very good friends. They had all kind of critical things to say about Job. Said, "Job, it's just because you've sinned. It's Job because you're not good enough. It's Job because you hadn't done this and you hadn't done that." Amen. You know, it's always easier for us to examine somebody else than ourselves. But Job, time after time, if only God were here, if I could only speak to him, if there was someone between us that would mediate. And of course, that was fulfilled in the New Testament when Jesus stands as the one mediator between God and man. But in the end, we find that God finally speaks to Job. And he tells him, "Sir, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? What questions? And then God says to Job, said, stand up now and answer me like a man. And Job said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes because I spoke what I didn't know anything about. And so we know that God used Job here, and he used that to tell us today that God is a creator of all things, heaven and earth. He laid its measurements. He created the foundation of the earth. Amen. He laid the cornerstone. Amen. He did everything. But he did it for you and I, a place we could survive in. You say, well, how many worlds are there out there? I don't know how many universes there are out there. What God did in eternity past, I believe, do believe he made earth for humanity where we could survive here. I believe it's here that he chose to make us in his likeness and image. Doesn't mean that you and I are a little God. I've heard a few people say that they were little gods, but after you listen to it for a little while, you find out they're not. But God is God, and we can become children of God by new birth, and he puts us into his family, having been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable by the word of God that lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. And so we find here in Genesis 1 and 1 that God created the heaven and the earth. Some interpreters have put an immeasurable space between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Well, you know, scholars debate that all the time. It's called the gap theory, that they believe that there was thousands of years between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. There may have been. And there's a little bit of scripture to back that up if you want to. But we find that Isaiah 45:18 says, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it, who did not create it in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is none other. Similar to here, the earth without form and void in verse 2 is Jeremiah 4:23. I beheld the earth, and indeed it's without form and void, and the heavens they had no light. There's more to that. However, I'm not here to do anything but glorify the Lord this morning, so let's move on. God's purpose for man, the purpose for the earth's creation was for you and I. Praise God. And God's plan has always been to fill this earth with his glory. In chapter 1, verse 28, Genesis, it says there that then God said, let us make man, verse 28. Then God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we know that God placed humanity here in creation. Praise the Lord. And so he made man to inhabit the earth, and God meant for mankind to spread across above this earth, or all over this earth, not above it, but all over it, and to multiply and bring God's glory to all creation. That's always been his plan. And I'm glad that God is not selective on a certain few, but he intended humanity to spread his glory over all the earth. We know what happened. Man sinned, and instead, this world today is filled with sin and evil. And only by an act of God can people be brought back into fellowship with the Lord again. And so it's God's purpose at that time to fill the earth with his glory. He will one day. Habakkuk 2:14 says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That'll be during the thousand-year millennial reign that God's glory will spread over all the earth. And ultimately in the new heavens and the new earth, there won't be anything but God and a place without sin completely, like it was before the devil came into the garden. And so it's God's will to fill all the earth with his glory. It's God's will to fill every home with his presence. It's God's will to fill every church with his presence. It's God's will to fill every person with his spirit. Amen. The book of Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things. So God intended to fill his church as well. Praise the Lord. And if every church was filled with God's presence, there would be room for nothing else. Amen? If we'd fill our lives with God, let's just don't leave room for Satan. Don't leave room for sin. Don't leave room for anything. Just be filled with the Spirit. And I know that that's the reason that the apostles were filled and refilled, because they had to keep filling up, because the world is there to slip in and to jump in if you leave us open space. So God wanted to fill his earth with his glory. And so the purpose of Earth's creation is so that man could have relationship with God. God created man in his likeness and image. Verse 2 says that the earth was without form. The word was there could be translated became in the original language. But it was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So we know that originally the earth was out without form and void. Some believe it became that way. I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, it was. That's the way it was. It's what it says here in the Scripture. And man without God today is like the earth originally, without form and void. The word void there means empty. And so the world, before God got through with it, or before he started on it, as we know it today, it was empty, it had no life, it was without form, it was void, it was empty. And mankind without God is empty. And so without form and void, empty, without God, man has a life that is full of unanswered questions, a life with seemingly no purpose whatsoever. But I want to tell you something, God has purpose for people's lives. And God has a reason why you're here. Amen. God has a purpose why you were born upon this earth. And God has a reason and place and a future for everybody. Amen. And it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that people go to heaven and live with him eternally. It's puzzling to me as why God would want to spend eternity with me. And you can say amen if you want to. I can too. But anyway, we know that God intended for him, you and I, to spend eternity with him, to share his eternity. That's wonderful. Instead, we know that sin filled the earth and people became controlled by evil and by evil spirits. And we find in the book of Mark chapter 5, we find the story of the demoniac of Gadara. As Jesus comes ashore and this demon-possessed man comes to Jesus, Jesus said, "What's your name?" He was talking to the evil spirit. He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." The Roman army, a legion, was a bunch of people. Man. It's about 1,000. He was fully demon-possessed. And so, we find that this man had no purpose. His life was empty. The Bible says he was always in the mountain crying and cutting himself with stones, and he lived in the graveyard before he was dead. Wrong time. And so he sees Jesus, he runs to Jesus, he asks for help, and we know that Jesus looked upon this man who was completely controlled by demonic spirits. He had no control over himself, he had no control over his life, he had no control over what he did. He was fully motivated by evil. And nobody wanted to get near him. He had been often bound with chains, but they had been pulled apart, pulled asunder by him. Strength of the demons inside him, and he could get no relief. But when he saw Jesus, he came to Jesus. "Can you help me, Jesus?" And so his life was without form. It was void. It was empty as far as God is concerned. It was full of evil, but it was empty of God. And we know that Jesus rebuked the evil spirit that came out. And the next time we find that he's not naked and running and cutting himself with stone among the tombs, but he was clothed and in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's what God can do and does. Praise the Lord. And so the life without form and void, his was, but it took on form. It took on purpose. God had planned for that man. And when Jesus left, he said, "Jesus, I want to go with you." And Jesus said, "You know, you stay here and you tell all the people what God has done for you." He became a missionary to the land of Decapolis, which is translated 10 cities. And there people marveled. They knew him in the past as a demon-possessed maniac, but now saved, clothed by Christ. Only God can do that. No longer void or empty, but full of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we have today people that are bound by many things. The religion of Islam, it rejects the deity of Christ, rejects the Holy Spirit, rejects redemption through the blood of Christ on the cross. They believe in Jesus. They don't believe he died for your sins. But that is a gospel of no forgiveness, no hope, no love, and no life. It is a religion that's void, that's empty. But life without God is void of peace, love, safety, without hope, naturally and eternally. My friend, Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. He said, if we just have hope here while we're on earth, this life's going to pass away. We need something that's eternal. And so Jesus came to give eternal life, not just to make it better for the years we were down here. No, he gave us eternal hope. And Paul said, if you just have hope in this life, it's not much good. You're of all men most to be pitied, miserable. Amen. Also, we find that God created mankind to create mankind relational. First, God created man to have fellowship with him. It's not that God needed somebody. God needs nothing we have to offer. Amen. God didn't create us and save us because he needed us. He saved us and created us because he loves us. Amen. With the love that's far beyond what you and I could love. So much that he would take the demoniac we just talked about and turn him around and put another life in him, a reason and a purpose for life in him. So he wouldn't be empty and void, but he'd have purpose and reason for life. And I can tell you, the reason we have any hope is because God has given it. Not because we earned it. Not because said, I'll look down here and that guy's pretty good, so I'll just give him some hope. No, he died for the sins of the whole world. All. Amen. God so loved that he gave only begotten Son, that whosoever, not just certain few, but whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting. Amen. So God created man for relationship. Amen. And created mankind for fellowship with God and to know God and to have a relationship with God where that we can just not just know that God's out there somewhere in the universe and perhaps he'll show up one day. No, this Bible tells that us in Psalms 139, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. I don't know how he can be present here and present halfway across the world, or not to mention the universe in every place, but I don't have to understand that. I just know that he's personal. I know that he's real. When he comes into your heart, you know it. You've been born again by his Spirit. You become a child of God by new birth. Hallelujah. So man was created relational. And when the missionaries that we send in other countries, or in this country, in America, the United States has become one of the biggest mission fields in the world. There's not such a thing as foreign missions to God. Everything is missions to God. But missionaries go into places, especially where the gospel is not, or there comes a real price, maybe even your life, for proclaiming Christ in that nation or that country. But the things that missionaries do, they go in and they build relationships with people, build trust, and then they begin to share the gospel with them. That's the way God gets in. Amen. God does not have to have my way or your way. He has his way. And God moves on various people to do his work. Praise the Lord. He moves on all of us to do his work. But God desires fellowship with humanity is made known through his calling of a people to be his own and to reflect his holiness and his love. It's said about believers, we fall short of this many times, but it says in 1 Peter 2 and 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Some translations make that a little easier. His own special people. Isn't that better than a peculiar? You and all, we've all met a few that was peculiar. It doesn't mean odd like we think of it. Chosen generation. Royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a called out people. Amen. That doesn't mean we're better than anybody else. We're all just saved by the grace of God. Everybody that's saved is an act of God's grace. Undeserving, but yet God gave it. Hallelujah. Everything good, the Bible says in the book of James, every good and perfect gift is from above, not from below, is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Hallelujah. God is triune. That means he is a Trinity. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but what it means is that it is all expressed without question in the Bible. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there is a closeness and a relation between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that's greater than any closeness ever in humanity. I've never read a scripture where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are trying or fussing about what they ought to do next. They are one in mind, will, and purpose. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, that would be God the Father. The Word, Jesus, be the Son. And the Holy Spirit, these three are one, meaning that they are one in mind, will, and purpose. Jesus coming down to the earth to give his life as a sacrifice was not just the idea that they fussed about or argued about. Jesus in his humanity prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But that was in his humanity. In his deity, there was never a question whatsoever. Or really in his humanity, or a question whatsoever that he would not do that. Jesus knew what he came to do. He knew how it would end. He knew he would suffer death on the cross for you and I. He knew it would happen. And even Peter tried to tell him, said, Lord, they're not ever going to crucify you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, for you do not understand the things of God. He was not going to let anybody keep him from paying the price on the cross for my sins and for yours. Every drop of blood would atone for thousands of sins of the whole world. He never was talked out of it. Couldn't be talked out of it. He's God. But God is relational. This is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Revelation of the Trinity here is in the scripture that we read in our text here. You know, 1:26, he says, God said, let us, notice the pronouns, us, make man in our image, after our likeness. There's not three gods, but there's gods is triune and one person. And we think of one person being, you know, just one person. And, you know, you go into a restaurant and they say, how many? That's kind of embarrassing when there's just two of you. So do I look like more than two? Anyway. But God is one in that sense, in a oneness that we can't fully explain, but he is three. With the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But man is incomplete by himself without God, for God created mankind, you and I, with a need for fellowship with God. There's many religions in the world. I looked on the internet the other day and trying to find how many religions there are in the world, and nobody could just nail down exactly how many there are. There are 10 major ones, they say. But wherever you go in this world, you're going to find that people worship something. And they do. And if they can't find something to worship, they'll worship each other. And so idolatry is man's greatest problem, is his search for God. That's what religion is, just as man's search for God. But it's found in a relationship when a person comes into contact with Jesus Christ. And God does a complete work in that person. You may judge this person and that person and say, well, it wasn't complete enough for me. Well, God's not saving according to you. God's saving according to what he does. In Philippians 1:6, you know, we know that Jesus began his good work in us. Amen. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God didn't save you to kick you off somewhere along the way. God didn't save you for you to backslide somewhere along the way and quit serving him and quit following him. People do that by their own choice. They have a free will to do that. But God's purpose is that he completes the good work he has begun in you until the day he receives you into heaven. My friend, live for him. Serve him. Don't turn away from him. Don't backslide. Don't get a cold in your spirit. You walk with God. Live for God. Exalt Christ. Walk with him. Testify. Witness. Preach Christ and him crucified. Risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus called disciples to follow him. He had relationship when he was up on this earth. He had relationship with people. As a matter of fact, Jesus was criticized for his relationship with some. And the Pharisees said, well, you know, he eats with sinners and publicans. Not Republicans, just publicans. Publicans were tax collectors, Jewish people that were hired by the Roman government to collect taxes from the Jews and give them to Rome. And they were notorious for collecting more than really was needed, so they were pretty rich from charging too much tax. Amen. See, it's as old as time, isn't it? Okay. But Jesus called people to follow him. 12 disciples, you come and follow me. And Jesus had the kind of relationship with them in the sense of he ruled over them. And it made them what they were to be created to be, followers of Christ. And God continued, or Jesus began to continually feed his life into these disciples, these 12 disciples. He spoke words that we are still reading today. God brought them to their remembrance, that they might inscribe those words. We're still reading, preaching, and living by the words that Jesus spoke today. And that's what we become when we're a Christian. We become followers of Christ. Not followers of some religion that somebody made up out there. No, but we become followers of the living God. Amen. Jesus is no less than God. He's with us. Amen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that. Jesus is God. He ascended back into heaven. He's seated today at the right hand of the Father. And so Jesus called disciples to follow him. So he had personal relationship with them. Amen. And the writers in much of the New Testament, they encouraged people to have fellowship with God. In 1 John 1 and 4, the Apostle John here, same guy, said, "That which we have heard, have seen, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship." 1 John 1, 3. "With us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And so the writer there in 1 John, he said, you need to have fellowship with God like I have. And John was not being arrogant in any way, but he said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We've come into a born-again experience, and we can walk with God. We can live for God. We know him in a personal way, and he teaches us, guides us. How does he do that? Most likely by the scriptures that he spoke so long ago, that Jesus spoke so many years ago. And so people then, they wanted to be a part of what this was, a part of his work, a part of his teachings, and of his present and of his future. They wanted to be complete in Christ, not void and empty. Colossians 2:10 says, you are complete in him, Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. That means Christ rose again from the dead with all authority over all creation, over everything. Amen. You want him. You want to be complete. You want to follow him who has the answer to everything, who is complete in everything, who is the head of all world powers. Amen. Heart of all universal powers. And love is complete in God. Hope is complete in God. Mercy is complete in God. Grace is complete in God. And so when we come to Christ, we can be complete in him, not void and empty, but have a personal walk with him. And he has given all that man needs to live here. He's provided redemption to deal with man's sin problem. Don't tell me man doesn't have one. He does. You say, well, not me. Yes, he does. Yes, you do. You need God's help every day. And he's given eternal life to make us eternally provided for. There's a name in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see, the Lord will provide. And God has provided everything that's necessary for you and I to go to his heaven and to spend his eternity with him. Amen. He's the Lord. And so we were created for a relationship with God. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Praise God. And God created us for fellowship with him. Adam and Eve had, let's listen to this. Adam and Eve had unhindered fellowship with God. Before they sinned, they were in a world where there was no sin. That's hard to imagine for you and I, but it was that way, and God created it. Nothing to hinder communication between them and God. There was not anything that separated them from God. There was not anything that hindered their fellowship with God. They may have talked with God just as you and I would talk with a friend, face to face, because there was no sin to separate them from God when they were first created. And so, nothing to separate, no fear, no anxiety, no worry, just a perfect life. The life that you and I dream of, but we don't have to dream of, because God gives us eternal life And we still have to deal with the sin problem here in this world. We still deal with the flesh, the cravings of the old sinful nature that want to take over your life. Paul battled with him, a great man of God as he was, he still battled with the flesh. But God gave us his Holy Spirit to help us, give us power over the flesh. And God created Adam and Eve with only one restriction, only one thing wrong that they could do that would separate them from God. And that one thing is what they did. You know that. And they could partake of every tree of the garden because there was great fruit there, and even the tree of life was there, but there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus said in the day, or God said to them, in the day that you partake of that tree, you'll surely die. And I want to tell you, the first bite, they died spiritually, and their relationship and their connection with God, and began to die physically. Death was certain. And so they missed the restriction there. That's another message. That's the rest of the Bible, basically. God created the earth in 6 days, regardless of what people think. But God created a day of rest, too, a Sabbath, a day set aside for spiritual purposes. I believe that day today is Sunday. Jesus, on the first day of the week, was resurrected. And a day, a time for man to give undivided attention to the Creator. Amen. To have fellowship was broken by one act of disobedience, and fear came into the world. And we know that God came searching for Adam in the cool of the day, and God calls out, said, Adam, where are you? God knew where he was at, but he wanted Adam to respond. Basically, he was saying to Adam, where are you in obedience to me? Where are you hiding? Amen. Adam said, we hid ourselves because we heard you. He said, what made you afraid? Amen. Are you in fear of facing God? Questions came. Amen. Adam, where are you? I believe God is calling to people all over the world. Said, where are you in relationship to me? Where are you? He may be talking to you this morning. Amen. But God came. They were separated from fellowship with God. They were banned from the Garden of Eden lest they should partake of the tree of life and live forever in their sin. That was an act of God's mercy. But restoration and fellowship with Christ came through Christ. We know that God sent his Son. God already had a plan. Genesis 3:15. God had a plan already in place for there to be a redemption plan where man could be reconciled to God and have a settled account with his Creator. The Bible tells us over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. Speaking of Christ for the life, Christ was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, revealed to us. That which we have seen and heard, talking about Christ, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So through Christ and the blood that he shed on Calvary, mankind can regain fellowship with God. And through the Holy Spirit, we can communicate, we can praise his name, we can worship him in the Spirit. Amen. And so that's what God has sent, that's what God has given unto us. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter, meaning one of the same kind. Amen. The Holy Spirit. And so we're reconciled to God, have a settled account with God when we come to Christ, confess our sins and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God does and will have mercy on anybody that calls out to him. And through his blood, we're forgiven. Our life is given back to us. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1:5, this message we have heard from him and declaring to you that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You can't walk in a life full of sin and still at the same time have a relationship with God. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. I believe the blood of Jesus keeps on purging, keeps on cleansing, one sacrifice offered for all, his blood. Amen. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad for if? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Hallelujah. And so God makes up the difference. Void and empty as the world was created, and that's the way the sinner is, or the person is without God, but it doesn't have to stay void and empty. We can have a life, friend, that we can rejoice in. We've got a song to sing. We've got a heaven to go to. We've got an eternal life that God has prepared for us, friend. I don't care what this world has to offer. It can't beat the deal that God has given you. You can't go past the deal that God has given. Eternal life, amen. He died, poured out his soul into death on the cross because he loved you. And that love is powerful and mighty. It's God's love that mankind cannot produce. Only God can do. And God loved you and I so much that he created us for his purpose and his plan forever. Amen.